Session 166, June 30, 1965. Good evening. Rob. Good evening, Seth. John. Good evening, Seth. Seth. My heartiest regards to our friend Philip, irregardless of his own rather frivolous good evening. I would like here to continue our discussion concerning the nature of the personality. Joseph, if I speak too quickly, I hope I can rest assured that you will ask me to slow down. Rob, all right. Seth, as we mentioned in our last session, the personality cannot be considered alone, but it must be thought of in its relationship to action and to all those aspects of reality of which it is a part. When it accepts an illness as a part of its own self-image, then the illness becomes an actual part of the reality that is the self. The personality must therefore be considered as a biological reality. It must also be considered as an electrical reality, as a psychological reality, for any experience is automatically translated into all these systems. I would suggest that our friend with his ulcer read our last two previous sessions, for this will bring home to him the fact that he does indeed, literally, consider his ulcer as much a part of himself as an arm or a leg. He considers the ulcer, in fact, real, more real and necessary than an arm or a leg, since his whole life now revolves about this illness. In such a case, the whole personality structure adopts such an illness as a new unifying principle, about which life activities are then centered. That man, for all his seeming outwardness, fears to relate himself in a basic manner toward the outward environment. Rob notes, Jane smiled and pointed to John. Her eyes were still closed. Her voice was now loud and active, with a strong edge. Seth, we do not have that trouble here, for here, if we may use Philip as another example, we find a better balance. Philip relates himself well in an outward manner, insisting to some extent that he maintains also his inward integrity. I am here mentioning the two personalities and bringing them together in our discussion, because they are both salesmen. As such, their positions demand outgoing natures. But one of our salesmen has an ulcer and the other man does not. There are obvious reasons for this, and reasons that will allow us to delve more deeply into the nature of the human personality in general. We will, for the purposes of our discussion, ignore, for now, certain aspects in Philip's personality, such as a deep secrecy, which is indeed based on fear, because this characteristics and others will not help us progress in our particular subject matter. We will instead content ourselves with a comparison of the two personalities in regard to certain characteristic reactions, which tend to lead the personalities toward health or illness. What is required of them both in their daily working lives is in many respects precisely the same. They are both excellent salesmen. They are both intimately familiar with the use of energy, in that they are able to use their own energy to affect the minds of other individuals. But the reactions are entirely different, and Philip's past life experiences prepared him for the nature of his present occupation, where he is dealing with medicinal matters. Rob notes, Seth dealt with one of John's past lives and his connection with medicine in an amusing way during the 21st session of February 3, 1964. John knocked on our door during the session, but since we had not yet begun having witnesses, we asked him to return later. As soon as the door closed behind him, Seth went into a rather lengthy rundown on him, much to our surprise. At that time, neither Jane nor I had seen John very many times. Seth, he is, in a more basic manner than he may realize, deeply committed here. He is quite content with his ability to affect the minds of others. Our other friend, to the contrary, is afraid of this ability and distrusts it, and is not at all committed to the product that he sells. But this is not the only reason that one man has an ulcer and the other man has none. For we are involved here with characteristic reactions and with habits that have been engraved within each personality since last physical birth and before. I will now suggest your break, and we will continue with this particular discussion. The matter of the surveys will be in due time discussed. Philip, I will be glad to tell you the little that I know. I now suggest your break. Rob notes. Jane ended the session with a smile, referring to the survey discussed by John before the session began. This was a detailed psychological questionnaire that John had recently completed for the drug company, Searle. John felt that the questions were loaded, that his answers, which were very frank, would be used in considering him for advancement. Jane resumed in the same active manner, her eyes still closed, her voice strong at 9:33. Seth, I am, as always, fascinated by your discussions with guests during your break periods. There is much I will say at a later date having to do with Rupert's truly idiotic performance in visiting the supposed medium in your town. It would seem to me that his nature would be somewhat above deliberately leading the poor deluded woman astray by lies. She is at best deluded and neurotic and embarrassingly sincere. Since when does Rupert stoop so low as to make fun of fools? If anything, the woman deserves pity and heartily scorn. I was not pleased with that performance. Rob notes Jane smiled and frowned. Her voice now became more amused and less scornful, but not much quieter. Seth, on the other hand, I did watch with some amusement as the scene was enacted in a small room, and as the ghosts were supposed to materialize in the doorway. I do, therefore, on the one hand, somewhat appreciate Rupert's reaction. In one of my more friendly moods, I might indeed have tried a materialization of my own that would have frightened the poor woman out of her wits. Nevertheless, I did not do so, and I feel duty-bound to mention the fact that Rupert's performance was dishonest, and there was no good reason for it. It would be much better for him also if he stayed out of the investigation that he so gleefully entered into with Peggy Gallagher concerning the so-called mediums in your town. In all cases that I know of, these women are indeed neurotic and misled and self-deluded. Nevertheless, they harm no one. They listen where no one else will listen. They are well-meaning, and occasionally they are able to use their inner abilities. There is nothing wrong with the idea of an investigation. Rupert simply should not be involved in it. It is not his place. It is not his area. And because of his conscientiousness and hard-headedness, he would be much harder on these women than is necessary. But the thought of him baiting an elderly 72-year-old self-deluded woman is too much. Rob notes, Jane's voice grew to a near shout briefly. She said later that she did not know the age of the woman medium being discussed here, but that she had taken it for granted it would be in the 70s. Seth, we now will return to our previous discussion. We find that Philip believes basically in the products that he sells. We find that the general nature of the products is related to experiences in past lives. We find that he has endless energies when he wants them at his disposal. We find that he relates well to the outside environment. And when we have this secrecy of which I said I would not speak, we also find in your other friend boundless energies and genuine ability to relate to others. But the personality is torn against itself. It does not believe in what it is doing, and here we find a comparison between this tendency towards secrecy on Philip's part and this divided nature on the part of your other friend. Rob notes, the other friend being Bill Gallagher. Bill and his wife Peggy have witnessed the 158th, 161st, and 162nd sessions. Seth, for when your other friend is relating to the exterior environment, he does something that Philip does not do. He closes himself off entirely, as much as possible, from the inside environment. Philip insists, in a rather cocky manner, in taking his own inner integrity along. Your other friend cannot, so far, relate the inner and the outer selves. He can relate to the inner self or the outer self, but he has not learned to unite the two, nor allowed for any understanding or communication between them. When he is at work, he thinks, this is not me, this is not myself. The inner self has not, so far, recognized this other portion of their personality. When our friend Philip sells, he is thinking, this is me, you can like it or not, but buy what I'm selling. But he believes in what he is selling. Your other friend sends a part of himself into the marketplace and leaves the essential part of himself at home. He is an expert salesman. He enjoys selling, but he will not admit that he enjoys it to his own inner self. The ulcer is caused by many things, and we have discussed some of them. It is nevertheless the physical materialization of this lack of communication. Its purpose is basically a good one. The results are obviously poor. The ulcer is an attempt to force a recognition of unity from the various levels of the self. It is literally a physical bridge. At this time, it is an impeding action, but it can be dissolved and resolved, according to our previous discussions. The dependent portion of the personality is literally appalled at the more aggressive aspects of the whole personality. In the case of Philip, we find these aggressive tendencies welcomed. But because basically Philip is able to unite the various levels of the self, there is no such deep and persistent physical problem. The aggressiveness is given rein and acceptance. The tendency toward division in Philip's personality shows itself in this tendency toward secrecy, which affects most deeply the nature of his home life. You may take a break if you prefer, or I will continue with the session. Rob, well, we'll take a break. Seth, as you wish. Seth, as Philip suspected, his questionnaire is indeed loaded. However, the fact that it is so set up does not change the earlier predictions which I have made. There will be a definite demand that changes be made because of the financial losses that are being suffered. This will not happen overnight. But it has already begun, and the forces that are now working towards such a reorganization will suffer within 6 months a seeming downfall from which, however, they will indeed recover. The recovery process will take a year, but the forces then will be very strong, and the reorganization is inevitable. Within 5 years, there will be a definite change in Philip's place of employment and living area, when he will accept a much better position and wholeheartedly. The reorganization, however, will occur before this time, and there will be talk of changes for him, as there have been, and some minor changes will occur. But the main change in Philip's condition with the company will not occur until after the inevitable reorganization. It will occur within 6 months to 1 year after the reorganization. My idea of time is obviously not your own, and I cannot at this moment pinpoint the particular date. However, there are some variables which cannot be adequately predicted because of conditions that will change drastically the attitude of two men within the organization, and also a death which will occur in the higher organizational realm. At the time of the reorganization, those who have spoken out will be sought out, and those who did not speak out will be on the firing line. Again, I am not sure of the date of the death that will be involved here. It will occur within a year and a half, and perhaps within 6 months. The repercussions will not be immediately felt, but they will be one of the basic causes that will lead officials to decide upon such a reorganization. Rob notes, Jane Bradley has witnessed the following sessions: 37, 54, 63, 70, 95, 135, and 166, the present one. In most of these, Seth has dealt with John's connection with Cyril to at least some degree, making the type of predictions he makes in this session. To sort out the rather complicated pattern of these predictions would require a study of the above sessions. To date, John has agreed with their content. But most of them are such long range that little has yet developed against which to check. Seth. Philip's connection with the conservative groups, politically speaking, will strangely enough have something to do with the promotion which can be later expected. This connection will not have to do with the fact that his group is conservative, necessarily, but will have to do with the fact that he exerts leadership in that area. His political movements are being closely watched by one man in particular, but the interest is being caused by his ability to organize rather than because the political movement involved a conservative one. Oddly enough, the fact that the movement is conservative will work to his advantage in very strange ways. Though they may not agree with his political beliefs, they will, on the other hand, trust his integrity because the movement is conservative. They do not believe that he would follow an unpopular cause unless he believed in it. They will want a man who is sincere. They will also want a man who can lead. They will be afraid of a liberal. I hope that this is sufficient. After our next break, I will give you what additional information I have. You may take a break, or we may continue with our session. I should, from here on, call you. I will take a break, Joseph. I do, however, appreciate the work that you give to our sessions, and if you will forgive my humor, I will forgive yours, as I sometimes am acquainted with it on those occasions when I look in on you between sessions. By all means, take your break, and if you prefer, I will then continue. Rob notes break at 10:32. It might be noted that again I detected traces of what I call a brogue in Jane's manner of speaking this evening, and thought it more pronounced as the session wore on. She does not have this characteristic usually. This brogue had been quite pronounced at times during the 162nd session witnessed by Lorraine Schaefer and Bill and Peggy Gallagher, and I have noted traces of it during subsequent sessions. This accent has been apparent in other sessions in a minor way at times. Perhaps I am more conscious of it recently because of the two Father Trainier episodes. See the 131st and the 158th sessions. During those readings, Jane's brogue was unmistakable. Jane grew up in an Irish neighborhood in Saratoga Springs, New York, and is a quarter Irish. She had no father at home growing up as a child, but Father Trainier, a frequent visitor, was Irish. John Bradley said he was thoroughly convinced that a reorganization would have to take place in his company, that great financial losses were being suffered. This theme was run through Seth's predictions concerning John's company for the past year or so. John himself has suffered some paper losses in stock values and is, of course, concerned. Jane resumed, somewhat quieter. Seth, we will shortly conclude our session. However, I will add a few notes. Philip is now being seriously watched and considered for another position. His immediate superior is basically not his friend, although personally they may get along well. It is others in higher positions who are watching him. I will endeavor to speak more slowly, and I will be directed in this respect, Joseph, by you, if you will make your wishes known during the delivery. There is one other company in particular with whom Philip could become involved to his advantage. It is situated in the Midwest, perhaps in Minneapolis. It is presently a small firm, comparatively speaking, but it will expand drastically within a short time. He will become involved with this company, I believe, irregardless, either as a competitor or as a member of the organization. If he uses his patience, it will be for his best advantage. Everything taken into consideration, to remain with his present company, and his impatience will not serve him well if he leaps too fast. The stock of his present company will drop still further. This will be another reason for the inevitable reorganization. The stock will go very low, and it will be this financial loss that will make the reorganization itself come about. The head man within the company will suffer a loss of power, although he may retain his title. Rob notes, as of July 3rd, G.D. Searle, stock closed at 54.5. John told us that a few months ago it had been in the low 60s. Seth, Philip should not stray from the medical field, although for various reasons he would not function well as a physician. He will always be able to deal with physicians, however, to his advantage and theirs. If he puts his efforts into the company and his energy, he can go as far within it as he desires. I will not give any further information this evening concerning these matters, but he may check with me from time to time if he so desires. There is a short man of whom he should be aware. I will now conclude our sessions. My heartiest and best wishes to you all. If you prefer, you may take a break and continue it as you wish. I am always at your beck and call. Rob, we'll say goodnight. Rob notes, the three of us were discussing the session and related matters when Seth abruptly came through again. Seth, the fact that Philip has become involved with a political movement will indeed of itself have much to do with the promotion that will follow if he waits for it. There was in the past disagreement as to his capability in the field of human relationships, as far as the ordinary person is concerned. The impetus that allowed him to become involved is only too well now recognized within the company. There is an individual within the political organization who, all unwittingly, gives information to Philip's superiors through a father-in-law relationship. If Philip, for any reason, allows his enthusiasm for this political group to wane, this will reduce his chances for advancement within the company, for it will be taken as a mark of fleeting interests. Philip would do well in his home relationships to be more open, for there is a possibility that his secretiveness could here cause serious difficulties. The home relationship is a strong basis for his inner security, and if he threatens it, this will be seriously reflected in his other areas of activity. Rob notes end at 11:14. John agreed with Seth. He said that as far back as last January, his suspicions had been aroused when one of his superiors had mentioned John's involvement with a political organization. John had not told anyone in the company about his activities in politics at that time. From what Seth said in the above delivery, John now believes he knows who the individual is who might be passing along information about him.